Welcome to Live Well Anyway. I'm your host, Mackenzie Coppa. On this podcast, we journey together in learning how to feel healthy, look good, and plan lives we actually like in the midst of all the everyday chaos. I'm so glad you're here. And today, I am so excited to bring you Anna Ray. So Anna has been a specialist for 25 years focusing on fascia. I have been so interested in fascia. I've been reading a lot more about fascia, hearing a lot more about fascia and its role that it plays in our body and how important it is, how we can activate it, how it pertains to lots of different systems in our bodies. So when I found out that I was going to have the chance to interview Anna, I could not wait to get in there and ask her all of my questions. I think this interview really goes beyond just the bodily systems. We talk about how to be agile even with your mind as you're growing older. I think it is a really interesting and fun episode. I had so much fun talking to her, and I think you are really going to enjoy everything that she has to say. It's this whole different look on fitness and health that I don't think we've really explored too much in the past, and I think you're really going to get a lot out of this episode. And if you know someone else in your life who you think might be interested in some of the things that we talk about on Live Well Anyway, can I ask you for a little favor this week? I would love if you would share an episode with them, whether it's this episode or one of the past episodes. Just, you know, like text a friend and be like, hey, I heard this episode and I thought of you. I really love this podcast and I thought you might want to listen to it. It helps so much when you guys just use word of mouth to spread word about the podcast. I know it's such like an old school way for things to take ground, but when we tell people that we recommend something, it really makes a big difference. And I would so appreciate if you would find one of these episodes to be worthy of, you know, sharing it with somebody else. So thank you in advance to all of you who go ahead and do that. I know it takes an extra minute to actually put that into practice, but it makes a really big difference and I so appreciate it. But without further ado, let's dive into this episode with Anna Ray talking all about fascia.
Thank you so much. It's really nice to be here and talking with you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I am so excited to have you today. When I heard they were pitching you to me, I was like, this is a topic that I've really been wanting to talk about. I mean, we were kind of talking before we got started here, and I'm on the cusp of 40 and, like, you know, feeling things different in my body, seeing things different in my body and my face. And so I'm like, yes, give me all the information that you can preventatively, and like, let's get into this thing. So I'm so excited to talk to you. But will you go ahead and introduce yourself just so we can get started?
Okay. My name is Anna, and I are Anna Ray, and I run a company called GST Body that is geared and focused exclusively on holistic body care through fascia. And fascia is probably something your readers or listeners, sorry, have not heard a lot about, but it's kind of this cutting edge science. And GST Body has a really unique and kind of biotech, a way that you can actually access and manipulate and work with and affect your health through the lens of the connective tissue system. It's an unknown body system. And so I discovered this when I was 18, trying to heal myself. I was trying to get out of severe physical health complications. I was 18, but felt 80 in my body. And the symptoms were really, really vast and diverse. I would, like, some of them were musculoskeletal. Like, I would feel like I had done the hardest workout of my life. And like the kind you can't, you take your, you know, sweatshirt off, or you can't sit down to go to the bathroom because your quads want to give out. And I wouldn't have worked out. I wouldn't have had like a significant, like, hard workout. And then some of my symptoms were like more serious, like IBS, digestive. And then the most serious thing was like in my respiratory system. I would like go out running through Golden Gate Park. I lived in San Francisco at the time. And I would run feeling like I was like a trained marathon runner. I ran like 3 or 4 times a week. One day I would feel amazing and just be making like 7.5 minute miles, and I would just be going hills, no problem. 2 days later, I'd feel like a 10 pack a day smoker, and they would go in and they'd be like, well, here's an inhaler and here's the thing. And I couldn't breathe in through my lungs at all. And I started looking at this, and I was a professional dancer at the time. And I was like, or trying to be. And I was like, what's going on? Like, I would go to all these specialists and no one could really kind of picture or focus on what it was. And so I made a commitment. I was a Pilates teacher at the time, had been certified and a yoga teacher, and I was a dancer. So I had a lot of body knowledge, but something wasn't working. And I would have flare-ups when I did things that I thought were good for me. And then I would have other things. So I just did a deep dive for 25 years. I've been exploring how fascia is connected deeply to all of your health, psychological, emotional, physical, how it's like really paramount in terms, it's related to how cancer behaves and develops. And so there's so many branches that we could talk about. So you just ask questions. Yeah. And that's pretty much the story. I run a company where we teach and heal fascia.
Well, that was so interesting as I was looking at your website, because it's, you're kind of talking about it in place of other workout routines, right? Okay. Like it's, totally. It's its own thing, which, you know, we're always inundated with so much different information and everybody has a different opinion about everything and how to work out the most efficiently and what's best for you as you're growing older. And I'm hearing like, don't do things like don't do heavy cardio because then you're spiking your cortisol and you need to build muscle because that's going to be what's going to keep your bone mass, you know, as you're getting older. But like, it just feels like there's so many things. And so how is this system different? What does it look like? What do you, yeah, give me that.
What's really interesting is that we use, so most people approach fascia through manual therapy techniques like massage, deep tissue, lights, you know, however, it's always manual. Someone is doing it on you. You are a passive recipient. Mm-hmm. What GST does is it actually takes you and makes you the active participant. And we use the medium of motion, right? Because it supplies all of the elements that fascia needs to remodel, reconstruct, re-identify and distribute. And it's like the hub of what fascia relates to is mechanical loading. And so mm-hmm. we do it in the context of motion. But that means that to a lot of people, it looks like fitness because we only like associate motion mostly with fitness or exercise. So the difference is that in GST, when we use motion, we use it with these techniques to actually manipulate the substance and structures and connective barriers and pockets or sleeves, all these kind of language, of fascia. Kind of like the way that a dentist like teaches you to floss, brush, and, you know, and mouthwash. Yeah. Fascia needs these like certain elements for body care. What's interesting is dentistry is the only like medicinal field that has a very tried and true, if you do these things, you can avoid this, like a preventative like structure care. And so GST is kind of like that in terms of its approach to aging, is that if you keep your connective tissue system healthy because it's connected to everything else, and it's responsible for what we do, or all these other physiological functions, then all of a sudden, you know, fascia becomes this one way in to do all of these things. You can actually do a huge amount of preventative care for health, longevity, and wellness. So motion is interesting because this comes back to biomechanics. And so the other second difference, I guess I would just highlight between GST as a totally new modality is that, like from yoga and Pilates and stuff, is basically the biomechanics that we use. And that is directed by what fascia is versus what it is not. The muscular skeletal structural perspective of the body as muscles and bones that use pulls and levers to pull you is based upon the biomechanics of classical mechanics. What that basically means is in physics, it's based upon solid things that are solid. But fascia is actually 70% water, and your body is 70% water. So when your body's exposed to forces in physics, it behaves more like a water balloon than it does a stick. Your body is more with fascia, like structured like tubes rather than solid sticks. And that changes everything about your motion. So while we're taught in fitness forms to how, what looking like a solid core, you know, how to develop a solid core, how to make things more tight and toned, how to like create firmness. And we're always looking to create like rigidity, right? Mm-hmm. We have this like, this kind of like culture of instability, you know, we have to prevent instability. So everything's about like muscles and binding them and shortening them and tightening them. And fascia's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. The opposite medicine. I need the opposite medicine. We are overly tight. We are overly rigid. We are overly dehydrated and restricted in our motion, which affects your physiology. And so GST is exclusively dedicated to using these biomechanical principles that actually are medicinal rather than mm-hmm. treating movement as a medicine through an old, archaic kind of model of biomechanics. So that's the biggest thing. So you can do fitness things using GST's biomechanics, or okay. you can do, right? It's different. I would like, for example, in yoga, they always tell you Pilates, pull your rib cage down to hold a solid core. Mm-hmm. Okay, hold on. The core of the body is not just your abdominals and yeah. the entire length of your spine. And you don't want to pull your ribs down because that adds load and overemphasizes the impact of gravity. That locks up your digestive system. It slows down your metabolism. It like influences your probiotic microbiome environment inside. If you compress your rib cage all the time, you're imitating sitting structures, right? Sit all day, yeah. your rib cage is dropped. So that's a principle that is throughout all fitness, yeah. like create yeah. a solid core. And then people are like, I'm 40. My back is like killing me. I don't know. Why am I in so much pain? And you're like, oh, because these are the yeah. same thing. The same thing that is causing the erosion of our bodies, sitting all day, eating too much. We're doing it with more intensity during our workouts.
Yeah.
During the way we exercise, we're just duplicating that with more intensity. And so the alternative is what fascia wants us to do. And that's what, you know, GST is kind of focused on, is giving okay. an alternative. Yeah.
So do you see like happening with this? Because obviously like people are concerned with their health, but they're also concerned with the way they look. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I want my body to like look the way that I want it to. Yeah. So do you see that sort of refining possible with GST in the same way yeah. that it would be with a traditional workout?
Yes, that's a really good question. And I'll say it in these two ways. Number one, I do think, and I just want to put a plug in because of how we're aging, which is I think you get to a point in your life where you stop chasing look good and you start chasing feel good.
Yeah.
And those two things at a certain point in life are divergent. You cannot mm-hmm. continue to do the things of like trying to lock down your body and weaponize it to get what you want it to look like. You have to be able to be like, with grace, with flow, I now am going to redefine what this looks like for me. And mm-hmm. what looks like is not the same things as it was when we were 20s. So I say yeah. that because I think a lot of women need permission to be like, stop trying to look 20.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah. all of those principles are actually hurting you and making it harder to age well and age gracefully and age beautifully. Now, having said that, the fascia gives you all of the benefits of traditional exercise and fitness plus, meaning we can give you tone and structural like individuation. We can highlight muscles, but instead of isolating the muscle and targeting it and trying to tone it, overstimulate it to contract and create more layers of tissue to densify it, mm-hmm. fascia will actually ask you to remove excessive tissues by how you streamline the muscle. So the way to picture this is like clay versus marble art, okay?
Yeah.
Most workouts are trying to add clay to add sculpture and to tone and to contour your butt or to get it lifted. They're adding weight and mass onto it. Mm-hmm. Fascia says, I need to actually remove the marble that's superfluous. I want to take mm-hmm. what you have as bulk and I'm going to share that tension to an area that is less tone. It's a concept called tensegrity, where the body holds its structures based upon its balance of tensions. Okay. And this is what's going to come down to our conversation probably a little bit later about how to handle life that's messy. It's like, how do you handle tension? How do you move it? How do you animate it? How do you eliminate it? Metabolizing life tensions to live a healthy life that is, you know, full of goodness. And I think that fascia has this like really nice eye-opening approach that says, I can give you all the things you want, but you're going to have to really change how you approach me. You're going to have to change your perspective. You're the one who's going to have to kind of change your mentality. And so you can go in yeah. and tone. And I have had 3 children and I still have a really beautiful stomach. Do I do 50 sit-ups, million sit-ups a day? No, I don't do any sit-ups because you have to move your entire spine to get nice abs. You cannot just crunch and crunch and crunch. It won't work. And so I think yeah. that one of those you know, redefining moments is changing, number one, what we see as beautiful as we age, but also then the approach. Like, you do not have to do and burn your body to the core to try to get what you want. It's actually working smarter, not harder. Refine yourself instead of just doing more of the same monotonous stuff. It's refreshing.
Yeah. Ladies, taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why for the last couple of years, I have been drinking AG1 every day, no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day, and it makes me feel more energized. I feel like I don't even need coffee in the morning because it helps me to focus so well. It makes me feel nourished and like I'm supporting my immune system, especially in these winter months when my kids have been going down like flies. They have just gotten everything under the sun. And so far, I have not. And I really attribute a lot of that to the support that AG1 has given my system. It has just got so much in there that is supporting me. I notice differences in my digestion. I notice differences in my mood. And that's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and so much more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. And I really need simplicity. My life is super chaotic. I've got family members dealing with injuries and sickness and craziness in my job and kids being home from school and all kinds of things. I can't be figuring out what different vitamins and minerals I need to be taking in order to support myself. Just being able to drink AG1, I usually do it first thing in the morning, is the game changer for me because it makes me feel like right at the start of my day, I've gotten what I need to be supporting myself and I don't have to worry about it again. I love the flavor of it. I think it tastes really fresh and clean, and I can honestly say it is the health thing that I cannot be without. It is my one absolute because I know I'm getting so much in it. If there is just one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1. And that's why I've partnered with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/livewell. That's drinkag1.com/livewell. Check it out.
So here's like an interesting difference between muscular work and fascial work. Muscles get stronger by shortening, right? You always pull the muscle when you're loading it and it gets shorter and then the muscle bulks up. Just try the, you know, picture the bicep. So I put a 20-pound dumbbell in my hand and I do a bicep curl. The bicep shortens to get the tone, okay? So you get strong when you shorten with muscle work. You get strong when you pull long with fascial work. So
interesting.
Think about it this way. It's the opposite. You get stronger the longer you stretch it. So fascia, way it looks in your body, is like a kitty went crazy on the inside with like a gel goo netting, almost like a spider web on the inside of you. And its organization is in microtubes and then mini tubes and then larger muscle tubes and then leg tubes, right? So they're these series of tubes. But the actual nucleus of the tube is a hollow core with fibers. And you want to picture as the listener, like a Chinese finger toy when you were a kid.
Oh, yeah.
You stick your fingers in the end. And when you push it together, the fibers loosen. And when you pull them apart, the fibers tighten. Okay. So this is how fascia gets stronger. You push them together, you get looser and more flexible. You pull tight with traction and you get longer and stronger. So if you want to be long and strong, you'd be better off not totally focusing on your muscles as a shortening, because that's not going to give you the look, the contouring that you want. Now, having said that, another thing you brought up in the beginning of the conversation was like women, you know, lift muscles so that you can do weight bearing to avoid osteoarthritis. And you can still get the same thing through the way you direct the force and load with fascia. So instead of fascia tightening the muscle to try to load a joint, which is what their system is, we pull it apart and we add the synovial fluid, which is the range of motion. It's the fluid that covers the joint to increase range of motion. And that shows that the body that the entire surface of that bone is being used and is loaded through a very wide range. And all of a sudden, the body goes, oh, that's not porous. I need to keep blood flow to that bone. I'm not going to let the bone go down to cartilage. I'm going to keep this, you know, area healthy. And so fascia has these like ways that just approaches that are in direct contrast to how we are taught, everything we're taught, right? And it's never been more, like to your point, it's never been more apparent that everybody's a flipping expert and they share their opinions, actually have, you know, 25 years or more. They're saying, did you ever read the book, Malcolm Gladwell's like The Tipping Point or something? And it's like, he measured this and they're saying there's a 10,000 hour, like there's been studies about this, that the amount of time that is required to achieve mastery is within 10,000 hours of a study.
Oh,
of something.
Yeah.
And so I look around and I'm like on Instagram and everybody's giving opinions. Even medical professionals give their, like, it's weirdly opinion based in certain ways where it's like, I don't know. What I love about fascia in general is just that it gives you this like, whoa, worldview change. The world is not flat. Yeah. Core is not solid. It's like, actually the world is round and your body is tubes and it's fluid. And all of a sudden rules change and the potential to do something different is there. I love it.
Yeah. Well, and I think that is in so many things that we're finding. Like there's so much information that has just been standard for so long. You know, so many people followed the food pyramid for so long. And I think still to a large extent, like that's still ingrained in people. And it's like slowly you're seeing more of the biohackers and more people like challenging these long held ideas that, oh, maybe there's a different way to do it that's actually more healthy. But it just takes so long for people to wrap their brains around that or get the information out there or even just have people who are willing to take that new information in.
That's right. I mean, most people are afraid of new.
Yeah.
And they don't even know like what they're looking for. And it's like, I'll just do this. And then they're like, wait, why is this hurting me? Or why is this not getting, you know, I'm not losing weight, even though I've done all these detoxes. And, you know, it's an interesting thing about the human mind, how it, you need your mind to be agile, right? To be able to look for new answers, find new things, find solutions. One of the, you know, it's almost like becoming a emotional and spiritual Olympiad. Right? Like if we're really relating, that's why I love the human body, is it's so practical and it's so like observational and real and flesh and bone that it applies to all these things. So you can learn these ideas like a body that is not agile ages horribly, horribly.
Yeah.
A mind that is not agile ages horribly. And, but we always get stuck in these ruts, a soul, a spirit that can't be agile with its, you know, ability to metabolize stress and, you know, hardship is, will break. If you don't bend, you break, right? It's all these old adages and we know the wisdom, but we don't apply it and we don't take it literally. And I just like the body for literally, but so you have an agile mind?
I feel like I've gained one as I've gotten older. You know, I think that I was set in ways for a really long time clinging to things. And then when I made some really big shifts in my life, you know, like turning my life completely upside down, it was like, oh, everything's on the chopping block. Everything, I'm willing to like say goodbye to anything that isn't actually working. And I think that's part of the freedom of being human and growing older. Like you can reconsider anything that you want to, and you can decide that you have a different opinion about it, or you can find new information and be able to make a different decision. And I think we, when we get scared of that and we lock it down and we're like, no, I can only think this way. That's when, like you said, you end up breaking or you end up alienating people that you don't necessarily want to, or, you know, like there's so many different repercussions and not being able to reconsider things.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. When you get stuck, you get stuck. And I think that's really wise to, like, how would you say you, what is a technique? I like to speak in words of technique because GST is technique oriented. So I'm always like, what is a practical, like, go-to technique for keeping an agile mind? Like, I know what it is for keeping an agile body, but what is it for keeping an agile mind? Is there an equivalent where someone could be like, I find myself locking down on this issue all the time, or I feel like I get bristled when I get agitated by this, or I notice that I'm constantly, you know, taking the back seat when I really want to step forward, or whatever their tension is, but what is a tool that can help switch mind and keep it agile while you go, I have one and I'll tell you what it is, but I want to hear yours first. Do you have a technique that allows you to?
Well, I think it's a mixture of things. Because when I think of like older people who, I think there's kind of like two kinds of older people, if we could reduce them down to that, like the people who keep being curious, keep learning new things, keep reading books and trying new things and new hobbies all throughout their life, new foods, new, like all those, they're open to new experiences. And then there's the people who are not, they have the same exact thing for breakfast every day. They do the exact same thing every day. Their world becomes very small and they aren't willing to think about anything any other way because I think they don't have any of those other experiences. So I don't think you necessarily have to be focusing on, okay, I'm going to react a different way or I'm going to think a different way about these things. I think if you are continually inputting new information and you're trying new things. That's great. Like, you know, we joke around all the time about like, oh, older people can't use computers or they don't know how to function their phone or they don't know the lingo or they, you know, like, and that's a thing, but it's because we become more and more closed off as we get older. And if you can keep yourself open to new experiences and to the willingness to say that you're wrong, then I think that you can continue to keep growing and changing.
It's so perfect.
That's my
opinion. What you're talking about, I hear you repeating three. It's really beautiful. Here's the three things that are, that stand up. Newness, right? Newness for agility, like not doing the same thing, not staying in a rut, like look for something that is not, okay. Newness naturally creates more options, right? When you're seeking out options, is my language with the body, but you need options. I need to be able to do this. I need to be able to do this. I'm going to try this.
Yeah.
And then once you have more options, you can have more choices, right? Yeah. So then that's where you get to the second thing you brought up, which is openness. Options and openness are synonymous, really, of like, if I am open, I am simultaneously creating the potential for more options in my life.
Yeah.
And that's going to actually keep me into the freedom that I'm looking for, right? The ultimate freedom, freedom to say sorry, freedom to re-identify. And you can believe something this way. And then you're like, well, I learned something else. And I now want to believe this way. And that kind of dynamics is created by having all these, you know, malleable options. And I think one of the things that I would say as a technique for people who want to cultivate connectivity and agility, these are all kind of themes in fascia land, is as you age, whether it's in your body, your mind, or your spirit, right, is being able to first step is, can I do the opposite from what I am currently doing right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we get into these neurological habits where it's like, I just only see this slope. This is the slope that I go down. And all of a sudden, that slope gets deeper and deeper and deeper, and it's harder to get out of that rut, right? That's what kind of puts us down that thing. And so one of my practices when I was in my early 30s was, I know how to be me. I don't know how not to be me. kind of a thing. So I go through a breakup and I'm like, my first inclination is to get busy calling other people, try to find another love. And I was like, what's the opposite of this, Anna? This flurry of anxiety, this flurry of fixing, or this flurry of, what's the opposite? And I'd be like, this doesn't feel right. This doesn't feel natural. But I'm just going to sit here. I'm just going to do the opposite. Instead of flurry into oblivion, I'm going to sit and just be uncomfortable and be nervous and feel my anxiety. And so I feel like one of the most helpful tools is to always come back and be like, can I choose the opposite than that rut that I'm skiing in, than that pattern behavior? And look, this is what freed you, right? This is what freed you. You're like, I've been doing this for 18 years and I am out. I'm out. Yeah. That was doing the exact opposite from everything that was inside of you. And sometimes that's not sometimes, it's always scary. And, you know, but desperation makes us do powerful and incredible things.
It's true. It's true. And and it's, I never expected to have this deep of a conversation when we're talking about fascia. So this is so great. No, I love it. It's so terrific. Like, and I think
I am.
Yes. No. And I listened to a little clip of you on another podcast, and like you were talking about that holistic approach that like everything affects everything else. So we can come on here and be talking about fascia, but we don't just have tension from the physical things that we're doing to our bodies. We have tension from the stress we're under and the like the very real circumstances of our lives, and it all does impact everything else, which is so important to remember when you're dealing with any sort of issue.
That's right. And I think that this is one of the reasons I love starting the conversation about life change and like with the human body, is that it does literally like map out to the rest of your lives. And physics is one of these ways that fascia is deeply connected. It's a sensory nervous system organ, right? And so it's taking in all of your human information, all of your experiences, and it feeds it to this area of your brain that's called the insula. And it's still an unknown, or not fully explored area of the brain. They don't know everything that it does, but one of the things that it's pointing to is that it's what colors our personal experiences and gives us the human soulful quality of those experiences and reflects them back at how we, our values and our meanings and our things that matter to us. And so fascia is collecting all of this. And when you think about yourself as a body, like we often live disembodied, where it's like, I am a human body. And then I am a mind. Yeah. And we overvalue the intellect, and we stimulate this kind of like tech versus analog is another way that I describe it. But the human body and physics creates a really nice language to talk about the things that are a little bit harder to grasp, like the soulful things that are harder to grasp. For example, when we talk about psychological loads, we talk about stress. But in the body, we talk about loads. Stress and loads are the same thing, and they're the same thing to fascia. If I mechanically load my tissue, my fascia behaves a certain way. If I psychologically load my tissues, the body has an experience and says, I'm going to have a cocktail of two parts cortisol, two parts noradrenaline, two parts, vermouth, shake it up, and it sends it through your system, and your fascia contracts. And that's why we get these primitive, holding patterns of protection and provision. And there's a great sociologist who does studying on this, where posturing in the body can actually trigger physiological changes in your body. That's why when you put your arms up at the end of a race, this posture will actually elicit a sense of empowerment and release. This kind of protective sit-up thing is actually creating a state inside of you. So fascia is related to emotional states as much as it is mental states, as much as it is physical. And so the number one thing I hear about when clients come into me is the amount of release of tension that runs through their entire system. It's almost a little euphoric when you start working with fascia, because you're lightening your load, literally. Fascia takes the load off, ejects and metabolizes load and stress, psychological or physical stress, and creates space. And all of a sudden, it is so refreshing. You feel so much lighter, not just it's antidepressive, really, because, and this is another fun thing, is that fascia is really connected to you brought this up in the beginning of the conversation. Don't do too much of cardio, because it does tax your adrenal system. And it does. It overstimulates. But we are constantly using our adrenal systems, which is why one of the reasons I think that disease is so rampant is that the body is completely in a state of disrepair. Fascia is actually linked to the endorphin system. And it, when you work with fascia, you're naturally releasing endorphins versus adrenaline and the other kind of hormones and neurotransmitters. And so I think that that's another way of approaching health through the body, wellness through the mind. Fascia just has its fibers in every aspect of your being, every aspect. So you can deal with so many things, not just metaphorically or analogously, but literally. Literally, I've worked with brain injuries. Depression is a huge problem. They take tons of their medication. And then all of a sudden, they start doing this fascia work and the symptoms are gone. Their brain injury recovers, their depression. And I think that it's literally just this holistic approach, right?
Yeah.
The way to stay alive and vital is to constantly be like expanding and opening consciousness and looking at, you know, taking the loads off rather than this constant sense of down. And
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I love that. Like, I want to learn so much more. It just sounds amazing. So from a practical standpoint, if we kind of like bring it back down to that, what does this look like if someone wants to get started with it? And will it help my cellulite? That's a big one too.
Oh my gosh, I love this question. It's like hilarious that something as deep and profound as fascia is finding its primary interest from people through cellulite. It just makes me laugh that something as complex, beautifully mystic, and completely like revolutionary attracts people's attention from the conversation of cellulite. So it is true that adipose tissue can come to the surface of your skin and you can help alleviate quite a bit of cellulite through the use of or through working with fascia, because fascial rigidity pushes this adipose tissue to the skin and creates puckering. What you can't do safely is try to rub that out from the superficial side, right? It's almost like trying to take lotions to deal with like rashes that are from allergic reactions from the food you ate.
Yeah.
It doesn't really help. You have to go in and heal your gut and then your skin will get better. And so all this deep rolling to attend to cellulite while your muscle's on and actively, rigidly like hurting yourself, that's not going to be long lasting and it's very damaging. However, if you start to restore glide to your tissues, if you start to hydrate your tissues, if you change the tensegrity between the layers of fascia from the skeletal system first up to the skin, you will have a huge, huge difference in your cellulite. So
interesting.
It's a different way. It's an inside out. Fascia is an inside job. It's inside out. You cannot transform it from the outside in. And that's why it's another spiritual lesson, because all we want to do in life is always like look outside ourselves and distract and consume. And it's like, inside job. It's an inside job. So get practical. Yes, you can deal with cellulite. That's my two cents. Don't do it from the outside. It's damaging.
Yeah.
And do it from a deep source of, and look at what the pathology is under the under the cellulite. There's usually a structural pathology under cellulite that is not related to the cellulite.
Support for today's episode comes from OneSkin. Did you know it's important to shift your skincare routine with the seasons? Things like dry, flaky skin, redness, even fine lines and wrinkles are a reflection of what's happening at the cellular level. So give your skin the TLC it needs to stay healthy, smooth, and hydrated as we start to move into a little bit warmer weather. OneSkin's products are powered by their scientifically proven peptide called OS1. This peptide reduces the accumulation of damaged, aging skin cells, the cells that make your skin less resilient and more prone to lines and wrinkles. Instead of masking these issues, OneSkin addresses them at a cellular level, boosting your skin's natural barrier to lock in moisture and help protect against the elements. They have a full line of face and body products, including OS1 Shield, an SPF that prevents UV-induced aging and repairs cellular aging all at once. Personally, I've been using OneSkin's products for about a year now, and I love them. They are just so light and fresh. They're not heavy at all. They just soak straight into my skin. I feel so nourished, and I really feel like I've seen a difference in the lines around my eyes. For being 40 next month, I feel like OneSkin has made a huge difference in helping my skin to appear youthful and glowing. Just last week, I was over at my parents' house, and my mom was like, "What are you doing with your face?" And I was like, "Well, I think I can attribute a lot of what's going on here to OneSkin, because I really feel like with the daily use that I've been using with the eye cream and the moisturizer and the skin cleanser, it has made such a difference in my skin." And that's because they really treat things at the root level, which I always appreciate. We go back to the root of things. We don't just slap on something that's going to topically make things different. No, let's get down to why this is happening and repair that. And and that's what OneSkin does. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. So get started today with 15% off using the code LIVEWELL at oneskin.co. That's 15% off at oneskin.co with the code LIVEWELL. No matter the season, keep your skin looking and feeling healthy with OneSkin.
Okay. Now, okay. Another practical thing. Well, that was one of them. You brought up the cellulite thing, but then you had another question of just like, how do we put this into action? Okay, let's put this into action. I'm going to give you two things. The first is for the listener that's just like, put this into action in your life. Okay? Mm-hmm. Get fascia moving throughout your life. Fascia is very much kind of like a snow globe. When you sleep, when you sit all day, it's very sedentary and the snow becomes heavy. You need to get up and shake your snow globe almost every 30 to 45 minutes throughout your day. It is not a go out and work out for 60 minutes and then come home and collapse on a couch. It is dousing, microdosing movement throughout your day.
Okay.
That turns our attention to not trying to get to a gym, not adding another thing onto your life. It's looking around your life and finding a jungle gym. Everywhere you look is an opportunity to hang, to traction, to compress, to rotate, to do these like really wild, like big movements that make the body come alive and come on board for the movement. And so then that brings me to the third point of practicality. What do these moves do? What do they look like? To the listener, because you can't see me doing wild, crazy moves in my screen. Fascia is tubes. So picture it like an accordion. Every movement you do has to have a compression, which pushes the accordion together, and a traction that pulls it apart. Okay. The biomechanics of the body are based upon this foundational hydraulic motion. Think about a syringe that pushes water through, pulls water out, pushes and pulls. And this very simple hydraulic action is what makes your body push the blood through, move your lymph through, get your blood to flow. Finding hydration and moving hydration through every cellular structure makes your heart be able to glide next to your lungs. All of this motility is all facilitated by the pumping action. So you go to a kitchen sink, you go to a bathroom stall door, and the first thing you're going to do is you're going to traction. That means hang off. That means pull the accordion really wide. And you're going to try to let your whole body just hang as much as you can. Joints pull apart, shoulders, everything just pulls. And then you come back and you try to go into the tightest little kind of like ball you can, either a primal squat, either a child's pose, some type of compressive move. And then you do a traction move. Then you do a compression. And basically you're washing your body with this pump-like action that is spread throughout your day, and it's the best detox, it's the best de-stressor, it's the best anti-ager, longevity. It requires that you access all four of the most like pinnacle stats, like most cutting-edge research has like four different things that are markers of longevity in someone. And hanging off of things is grip strength. Compression and traction is hydration in the tissues and the intercellular space. And then there's the athleticism of the breath and the respiratory. So there's all these pillars. Anyway, so that's what it looks like in a practical sense. Do it throughout your day. Make your life around you. Look for like handicap ramps bars, railings. I do it oftentimes walking upstairs. If I have a railing on both sides, I grab onto the railing, I pull back, and I hang off the railing. You want to be in Starbucks and you're waiting for your macchiato latte or whatever they're called, then you go and you just, while you're waiting, hang off of the counter or hang off of the outside door, parking meters. I try to give people these like really accessible, because what you want to do is like let your body start talking to you. So fascia has a reflex that goes to the same area of the brain where your hunger reflex, sex reflex, yawn, breath, respiratory reflexes. And it's telling your body, I need to discharge static energy in my system. I need those cells to have an input and to keep me like alive and alert. we want to restore that reflex so you don't have to be like, I set aside 30 minutes to go to the gym, yeah, to get my cardio. And the body's like, could you just yawn for 30 seconds and I will help you lose weight? Yeah. Could you just like go and stretch me for 3 seconds? Can you rotate the spine and like make some nice big movements for me for like 30 seconds and I will be as toned as you want me to be? So it's kind of just a very different paradigm shift that it's, and it's more friendly. It's more lifestyle friendly.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's time to add more and more. It's like, no, your body is not, is the pinnacle of less is more, right? It's taking care of so many things. It doesn't need these big, huge, heavy chunks. It needs light, effervescent accessibility to health. And that's what I think is really important, is how life accessible can this be? And that's what it comes to. So you can, from now a promo point, you want to get really deep with fascia, look it up, and you can come and see me because we have an online studio over 500 videos in different collections for different body concerns, everything from chronic fatigue to pregnancy to movement medicine, which is our answer to rehabilitation and physical therapy. We have conscious conditioning, which is fascia's answer to fitness. It wants you to train from a respiratory side versus a cardiovascular side to get the cardiovascular health. So you train from lungs versus heart focus. Mm-hmm. So you can just come and there's a 7-day trial, and that's how you would really do a deep dive into these little things. But you don't have to like, I mean, literally there's a daily dose collection and it's 15 minutes that you could just like put in and it's life altering, body altering. It just feels so alive. You feel so good. So those are the ways that you can like, that's the pitch side of the conversation rather than just.
Well, I love that. I think this is just such an innovative approach to everything. I'm excited to dive deeper into it. And I feel like we could have talked all day long, but it was just so much fun to get to chat with you. So let's head into the wrap up here, because I know you've got to get going soon. So what does a typical day look like for you?
Oh my gosh. Running. Running after children, running after errands, running after careers and family. And what I do is I just make sure that that running is in flow and it is not cardio, cortisol based. I try to really be mindful about pacing myself. And I think a way that I approach life is in daily life is just grace, giving grace to the moment, giving grace to the body, giving grace to others around me. And that makes the speed at which I do things feel effervescent and like effortless, right? We're looking for like use energy in a way that is effortless. So that's what my day looks like. I just wake up and I start going. And that's why I have to work GST into my life. And I do it every day.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, what is one little thing that you do to live well anyway in the midst of all of that running and chaos?
That's a really good question. And it's just as simple as this. Almost every 30 minutes, I have a 3-minute movement meditation. Hmm. And I do what I just described to you, but I do it with really calm precision. And it's very much a meditation. And it literally resets my entire nervous system. And I do it every 30 minutes or at least once an hour. And it's not because I remember, it's because my body craves it. It wants it. And so that is my, I think that's the jewel of like, your body is with you all the time. You can have access to this. You just have to like make time for a movement meditation and it's a full reset. And then you can just connect those throughout your day and it's really beautiful.
I love that. That's so good. Okay. And now into a much sillier part of the podcast. Are you ready for my stock questions?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I hope I can do that.
Well, they're pretty simple. So it's okay, like, it's this or that.
I thought it might have been speedy. Yeah. I was like, okay,
no.
I'm going to be on.
We're only speedy because I know you've got to end soon. It's the only reason.
No, we're good.
Okay. Candles or essential oil diffuser?
Ooh. You're going to get my fascia answer. I have both. Yes. I don't choose. I want both options. I love flexibility. I would say that I sleep at night with a humidifier with diffused oils. And when I am throwing my every so random dinner party, I love my candles. When I'm up in a cabin, I'm with my candles. So it's both.
Yes. Okay. Sometimes that's the answer. Okay. Cloth napkins or paper?
Cloth.
Okay.
City. Towels. I use lots of paper towels and napkins.
Yeah. If we're being honest, too many kids not to. City or country?
What? Oh. Oh. Don't do that. I can't answer any of these.
I know.
My most favorite is in the mountains. But if I can't get to urban restaurants and art shows, and I have a really a big soul for the arts and stuff. So I don't think I can choose. That's one of the reasons I love living in LA for so long, is I could get out to the mountains and then I'd go downtown. I'm in Boulder now, Colorado, and you get some of that. Not as much. I love both. I just love both.
Okay. All right. Paper or digital?
Paper.
All right.
Paper. Every time.
That doesn't surprise me.
Every time. Yeah, it's just paper. I still print out. I'm pretty good with tech, I have to say, but I would prefer paper anytime. Write me, know where it is. I can feel life. I tell people that I love my analog life, right? Like I'm really like not living in a digital age. It's very, it's a stress for sure. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Okay, so this probably answers this, but shopping, would you rather do it online or in the store?
I think it, for convenience, online, and I would once have said online because I just, going anywhere in LA in a car is hard.
Yeah.
Recently, I mean recently, like since my birthday a week ago, I went myself, I had like an hour and I just went to a store and I thought, I do miss this. I miss the, look, I'm an experience junkie. I love taste, smell, I just love feel and like anything that gives me like lovely feelings. And you don't get that when you shop online. It's very,
I mean,
this is why, like, I would rather be hugging you and like having a glass of wine with you and recording a podcast because I could, like, do you know what I mean?
So we're taking the whole experience. Yeah.
We're going to lose something in the digital age that's human.
Yeah.
And so I feel like there might be the start of this swing or like migration, a move back to in-person shopping. And because it's fun to like have a quick exchange with a cashier.
Yeah.
That's human, right?
Yeah.
I always flirt with the grocery bagger. I'm like, So I'm changing my mind about that, especially as I age. And that's one of the key pillars of aging well is staying connected to community, right?
Yeah.
And you cannot.
Yeah, I know. I agree.
Platform.
Yeah.
So that's a great question.
Whatever time you're making dinner and you are just wanting a mental break, do you listen to a podcast or music?
Ooh, I would listen to music.
Okay. What kind of music?
Oh, I love everything from Americana to 90s. Like hip hop and rap, right?
Okay.
The days when I was dancing, that was really fun.
Yeah.
I love Chopin. I just love Chopin. He's one of those brilliant, you know, composers. Bach is also beautiful. My husband has kind of gotten me into some AC/DC, which I'm pretty like. I used to like pretend to be into Metallica, but I like AC/DC. And then sometimes you'll like this one. I go back to my Christian roots and I just love hymns and Amy Grant and Michael W. Smith.
Yeah.
I have some like old favies. Sandy Patty was really big.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just love, I love options. I love music. Yeah. I just love the way that it feels. And as a dancer, I still love to just like feel the music through me, right? Not just hear it. I don't want it to just vibrate my drums. I want it to like vibrate my soul. And so that's what's fun.
I love that. Okay. Yeah. Chocolate, milk or dark?
Oh gosh, milk. But do I eat, but I like dark with wine.
Okay.
Milk chocolate always tastes better. But the only reason we go for a dark chocolate is because it's better for us and there's higher cacao.
That's a matter of opinion.
Okay. I'm like, doesn't everybody like a milk chocolate bar? Okay.
No.
Says the girl who's got dark chocolate all over her.
Yes. Okay. Sports or no sports?
I love sports. Okay. I've been known to all by myself, uninitiated by my husband, sit down and watch a football game. Or I think that my biggest passion is not necessarily for the game, but I think it's because I love watching bodies do fantastical things.
Yeah.
Like just seeing them, like genius bodies doing genius things is like invigorating and inspiring, almost the way watching a singer sing or dancers dance. Like I love and celebrate the best of humanity, right? Whatever is the best. Sports to me is more like that rather than the competitive edge. You know?
Yeah, I like that. I like that perspective. Okay, we're almost done. Live broadcasting. You're doing great. Thanks. Like Instagram stories or reels, would you rather do them or watch them?
Neither. I effing hate both of them. I hate both of them.
Okay.
Much anxiety trying to keep up with the Joneses on Instagram.
I
ever really feel insecure about myself. I just love like who I am most of the time. I think I'm pretty cool. At least I hope to think that I'm pretty cool considering I've worked 45 years on my life and that I'm like really defining it.
Yeah.
So none of those options. And then I love watching my children wrestle and play. I love, you know, I literally would rather, I don't know. I just like to do things. And so watching a screen to me feels, it just is anxiety. Okay. One is like, what do people want from me? What do people want? Do I have to produce? Do I have to produce? And the other one's like,
for sure.
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, that's a cool idea, but and then I'm either supposed to do something with it or I'm, anyway. So I don't like either. I'll be honest. I don't like either. I just like this. I like you and me.
All right.
And loving.
Yeah. No, I agree. There's something refreshing about just being able to talk to an actual person and not just like the hordes that you're hoping will like what you're putting out. Yeah.
I have thought about recently, just I love talking to people so much that that's why I asked you about your podcast, because I'm like, I really maybe would like to go in and do more interviewing for people, because it's like to bring humanity out is essential to me. So I love what you're doing. Thank you. Anyway, that's all. I just celebrate you too.
Well, I think you would be a great interviewer. I really do. Okay. Favorite movie?
Ooh, Dirty Dancing. Hands down.
Oh, that's a great one. That's a great one.
Pretty dancing. Okay. I mean, that was everything. Yeah.
Yeah. And last question. We're almost there. If you were to put yourself on the crunchiness spectrum where 0 is totally not crunchy and 10 is like singing Kumbaya by the fire with your legs unshaven and dreadlocks in your hair, where are you on the spectrum?
I'm probably around an 8, 8.5.
All right. I would have been really suspicious if it had been anything else. I think that maybe you lost a half a point just for liking milk chocolate, but you know.
That's really funny. Yes. And I do tend to go to fast food restaurants sometimes, and I tend to not always eat organic. And, you know, I think that the rogue and the like kind of the rebel in me is like, I just don't want to go into any too extreme. Like I'm not, this is funny. You said, well, I was never a workout person. I'm like, I don't really freaking like exercise. Yeah. I don't want to, nothing about that entertains me. Like I don't, even though I've given and devoted my whole career to taking care of bodies, I hate fitness. I don't want to go to a gym. I sometimes like to run. I'll get into running kicks. I love to dance, but I'm not going to go and work out. There's nothing in me that makes me do that. And so I'm like, it's just kind of this like, it's just a rebel. I'm like, I'm not going to be too crunchy and I'm not going to be too hippie. I'm going to be like, just not, this is a lesson from fascia and it's called moderation. Not too much, not too little, right down the middle. And so that's a balanced life. And that is how we really can cultivate good health all the way around, health and wellness.
I couldn't agree more. It's that reasonableness. Okay, ladies, I know this was a really abrupt, sudden end to the podcast. We did go on to say like goodbyes and all of that kind of thing, but for some reason, our recording software just decided, you know, we didn't need that part of the podcast. So I am so sorry that it came to such a quick halt, but I loved having Anna on the show. It was so fun to get to talk to her, and I hope to have her on again sometime. As always, you can find all the show notes by going to mackenziekappa.com and clicking on podcast. You can find the notes to all of our episodes there. You can also even listen to them right on the website, but who wants to do that when you can listen in an app? And if you are listening in an app, you can also find the show notes to every episode right there by just swiping up in whatever app you're listening on. And you should be able to find all the links and all the things so you can find Anna, so you can find me. You can also find our Amazon link if you're doing any purchasing through Amazon. You can go through any of our show notes to find my link. You can also just go to mackenziekoppa.com/Amazon. That will take you to all of my favorites lists. And anytime that you use that link when you're shopping on Amazon, it pushes a little support back our way without costing you an extra dime. So it's a win-win, and I really appreciate it. Thank you so much to all of you who use that link. All right, ladies, that's it for this week. Until next week, go be bold and gracious.